You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
We're going to be having our guest Delma Shabalala, who's going to be talking to us in a short bit. It is at 10 past 5, as we said. She is going to be talking to us about a very, very, very important subject, yet quite exciting to be at this particular time where we are commemorating, the month. It's called a month where we celebrate and commemorate the autistic neurodivergent people. Let's agree to you, Delma Shabalala.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I am good, thank you. Lovely. No complaints.
Lovely, lovely. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Adventist World Radio. I hope your day has been good.
My day has been good. It's just a confusing weather. That's just a confusing weather that I'm struggling with. When I left home, it was nice and hot. Mm. Now it's cold.
Yes, yes.
And I don't do well in cold weather.
Oh, man, you are in for it because winter is almost here.
Yeah. But at least you see, winter, you're already prepared that it's winter. So you leave home with your jerseys
and everything. Yes.
Today, I just didn't learn. That, I'd carry a jersey.
Oh, man, it's raining in Pretoria. So we're looking.
Is it?
Yeah, it's raining bad, man. Yeah, it started about an hour ago. Unexpected completely.
Probably on its way this side.
I tell you.
Joburg is not raining, but it's cold. It's quite nippy.
Oh, man. No, well, it's about time the winter comes. Now, let's come back from the weather. Let's talk about all things autism, balancing attention between an autistic child and a neurotypical siblings. And, those who are listening, by the way, we're talking to Delma Shabalala. And if you're raising a family where some children are neurodivergent, perhaps dealing with ADHD, autism, or sensory needs, and others are neurotypical, you know that balance can feel like an impossible goal. So please do join us in this conversation. I want to know, how do you give intense support to one child without leaving the other feeling overlooked? How do you manage expectations of a child who's trying their best but not hitting the milestones the way their siblings actually did or do? Now, today we want to break down how to manage expectations, foster harmony, and make sure every child in your home, wherever you're listening to us from, feels heard, seen, and also loved. Now, Delma, we often hear the term glass children used for neurotypical siblings because people sometimes look right through them to the sibling with higher needs. How can parents recognize if a sibling is beginning to feel neglected or invisible?
Well, I think usually it starts showing up in small things. Like all of a sudden, your child was not very independent, but all of a sudden they're now acting independent. They're not asking you for help. Mm-hmm. They're not sharing. And they just say to you things like, "Oh, it's okay. No, don't worry about me. I'm fine. It's mm-hmm. okay." Mm-hmm. And so it starts off small like that, then it gets big at times where the child is now seeking attention and they're doing the naughtiest things just so that you can see them, so that you can notice them, so that they can get a reaction from you. So it usually starts off small. So as a parent, you need to start taking note of all those small things and get to know each child because each child is different. So get to know each child and okay, my son usually would ask me to go running with him, but all of a sudden they're running by themselves. They're not asking me to come and run. Why? What's going on? And talk to them. Yes, talk to them. Find out, why are you doing this? Is it something that maybe is bothering them or there's nothing bothering them? Then that way you know what you're dealing with.
Now, what would you say is the best way to explain an autism diagnosis to a neurotypical sibling in a way that focuses on brain differences rather than something is wrong?
Well, it's the way I told my kids was that everybody's brain works differently. So there are two ways a brain works. There's the neurotypical way or the usual way, which is most people use their brains usually work like that. And then there's the way where it's not the usual way. I don't know how to put it. For example, if you look at left-handed people and right-handed people, their brains work differently and they experience the world differently, which is the same thing that happens with autistic kids,
I see.
in that some things they experience differently, and also they're good at some things or they may struggle at other things. So it's just how their brain is wired. It's wired differently. Yes, it's just wired differently. So basically, a good example is a phone. I don't know if I'm allowed to mention like a brands, but one phone, say a Motorola and a Nokia, they're both phones, or rather a smartphone and a what is this?
Device.
Yes, they're both phones. And they both work perfectly, but they use a different system.
I
They use a
see.
different way to work. Yes. So I think that's the easiest way to put it.
Okay. Now, I'm sure there's many mothers who are listening to the conversation, and mothers often feel a standard to be a super parent who has all the answers. How do you handle the inherent guilt when you feel you've had to choose one child's urgent need over another child's emotional ones?
The guilt is real, eh? The guilt is real, and the sad thing is a lot of mothers, actually parents, mothers, fathers, go through that guilt quietly and they never talk about it, but it's real. And for me, how I've learned to deal with it is I deal with the situation at hand. Because at times you find once the one has an urgent need that's really, as much as I would like to attend to everybody, I cannot. Or as much as I'd like to seem fair to everybody, I cannot. For example, when we're in the mall and maybe the air cons are making noise, my autistic child may have a what you call this, may have a sensory overload. And we may need to actually get out of the mall. And yet the other child wanted to go shopping for some stationery or something. So now I'll have to say, listen, we have to go because now this one's going to start crying and being very, like crying and unhappy, and which will draw attention to us. And so the best thing is for us to leave. We will come back later. So it's basically isolating the particular situations and seeing that, listen, this particular moment, this is what we need to do. And also being honest with our kids. We have to be honest with our kids and tell them that this is what is happening. And also treat them like the intelligent beings they are. They will understand.
Do you think
They will understand.
do you think we can tell the kids that, hey, Danami, I'm struggling?
Yes,
Okay.
I often have told my kids, like there's that moment where you sit down and you cry because now you don't know that, okay, this one is crying and this one wants this and this one wants that, and I don't know what to do. I can't cut myself into a lot of pieces to do everything. And so I've found that with honesty and honest communication, that way the situation is not open to interpretation, because every child will see something and interpret it in their own way. Actually, everybody. You may see something and you see me smiling and you think, oh, geez, smiling, she's laughing at my funny hair. And yet I was not even thinking about your hair, or I didn't even notice your hair. But it's open to interpretation. So if you communicate openly and tell them that, listen, I'm struggling, I don't know what to do. And your brother right now needs us to get out of here. We will come back and we'll sort you out with your books. We'll make sure you have the books that you need. But right now, we need to get out of this mall. It works better. For me, it has worked better.
All right. Now, there's an issue with the children. the term favorite. Yeah. You know, how does a parent explain to their neurotypical child that their sibling might have different rules than theirs? You know, like they may have fewer chores, for instance. They may maybe have extra screen time, maybe. You know, but without making them feel that there's a favorite man here in the house.
Well, for back to honesty and inclusion, you need to include your kids in your life with your what you call this neurodiverse child.
Mm-hmm.
They should play with this child. They should be able to work with the child, because they will see, remember we were saying children are intelligent.
Mm.
They will see that, okay, my brother struggles with sweeping.
Mm-hmm.
His hands are not coordinated enough for him to sweep.
Mm-hmm.
Try it once, twice, they'll say that, okay, sweeping is not going to work. Let us try something new, or let's give this child something that they actually can do. So honesty and including your kids in your day-to-day with the child. Don't make it that situation where one child is cocooned by themselves and you just, you know, make it a secret, like, okay, this one doesn't do stuff, this one doesn't do this, but when I clean, you mop, you this, Include all of them in the same thing and make them experience each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And yes, if they experience each other and they get to see, like right now, I don't have a problem with my children. Mm. When we go out, they know my older son, my daughter, they're always on high alert because they know that their little brother is a runner and he may just run off.
Mm.
They are always ready to run and catch him. So it doesn't feel like a chore that, oh, now when we go out with him, now we have to be guarding him. Now we have to be They know that this is what he does.
Mm.
And they know that it's not because he's trying to be naughty or anything, but his brain works differently, and running free with the wind blowing through his hair is something that gives him some sensory input that he enjoys. Yes. So now, because they know, they understand it, and it doesn't feel like a chore to them.
Ah, lovely. I think
And so now it doesn't. Yes, communication. And also as a parent, you need to make time for each child. Each child's communicate with them, talk to them, ask them, how was your day today? And they'll tell you, oh, my day was like this, or my day was like that. Or try and find out what's their interests, what do they like? Try and get to know them for them. Something that has nothing to do with the other children.
Yes.
It's just that one individual child by themselves. Make it intentional about having a relationship with each child. Yes, you may not be able to spend the same amount of time with each child where they need you.
Now,
I don't know if that makes sense.
Yes, makes a lot of sense. Thank you so much. Now, I want to get into, you know, just talk to mothers out there who may be listening as we, you know, wrap up our conversation. And maybe a mother listening who feels like she's failing both or some of her children. What is the one piece of advice that may have maybe helped you shift from surviving to finding a balance that actually works most of the time?
Over a period of time, I've learned that, okay, being a perfect parent is non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an easy thing. And getting the balance is something that you get over time. If you compare our journey at the beginning, like when we first found out he was autistic, and you compare it to today, those are two different, you know, journeys. And now it's so much easier. Life is so much easier. And I've learned that you meet each child according to their needs every day. And every day you just do the best that you can for that day. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about yesterday. Worry about now. Be in the moment.
Yeah.
And always knowing that my kids don't need a perfect mom. They need a present mom.
Wow. That's actually
they need
powerful.
A present mom. Yes, they need a present mom. I need to be there for them. And that's all that you can do. Be present.
Beautiful.
Yes,
stuff.
Then the rest falls in place.
Man, I'm inspired. I must tell you that I'm inspired because this needs a very careful navigation, and you have sound like you've mastered it. Yes, I understand that you say there were times that you felt, oh, I'm defeated, feel like crying and all of that. But, but look at you now, and I think it's quite encouraging and quite inspiring. I must thank
you.
No,
it definitely gets better. It definitely gets better with time. You just need to be patient with yourself and a lot of prayer. You'll be, you need strength. You need the strength. You need the patience. And know that, you know what, yesterday we didn't get it right, but tomorrow we might get it right. Yes, take each day as it comes.
Take each day as it comes. It's a beautiful advice. Man, yes. I must thank you so much, Delma Tshabalala, for coming through and talking to us about this lovely, lovely subject, raising children, but different as they are, yet finding time for each one of them and treating each one of them as an individual with all of their needs paid attention to. Thank you so, so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Thank you and goodbye.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.